Okay, the main thing is hearing. And the video will be in your mind, not just of me, but of the story that I will tell. And actually, there's something that's very important in terms of hearing Krishna's pastimes. And that's called mantra upasana. That there are verses that create a picture in your mind. There's two things. One is mantra upasana, and the other is called swadasiki. What a sikhi is when you hear the pastimes and a movie is created in your mind. But a lot of times, in terms of chanting, japa, etc., you can have a verse. You can have a verse, and it just paints a beautiful picture in your mind. So I think one of the objectives of this class is to, help you create a beautiful picture in your mind. The only thing I'm very disappointed about you not being able to see me is I have absolutely incredible tilak on. And it's a joke, but it's not. There's a reason why I put on such nice tilak, and it's related with the verse. But last week I got some nice feedback from the I got some nice feedback from the class, and some of the feedback, one of the feedback I got is, "Wow, your tilak was impressive." Well, one thing, it next month it'll be 50 years since I've been a devotee. I've been devoted for 50 years, seven at the age of 20. And it's probably took me that long to figure out how to put on tilak. First, you have to get the right tilak, because there's tilak with camphor in it that goes on easily but dries and cracks. But the point is, it had a relationship to the verse that inspired me to put on tilak. Prabhupada said it's not like war paint. There's some consciousness behind it. But it was describing that Krishna's footprints are the tilak of Vrindavan, and they're never erased. And the commentary said, what a marking on the body means is that you belong to someone. And in a traditional, that type Vedic culture with a chaste wife, there would be, I guess, some markings on her hair. And it indicated her relationship with her husband. I know it's probably not politically correct today to say it, but the concept, I belong to my husband. So tilak is a sign that I belong to Krishna. And not only I belong to Krishna, I belong to a lineage or family of Krishna. I belong to my guru parampara. So when we do things in Krishna consciousness that are physical, they're actually a matter of consciousness. It's not just a physical thing. The whole concept of mudra, how you place your hands, the whole place of ritual, where you place your body. It's not just placing your body or your hands, it's placing your mind where your body is. Just like when you do parikram, you're putting something else in the center, and putting something else in the center creates the consciousness of service, creates the consciousness of service in your mind, or even paying obeisances. It's not just falling down on the ground, it's having the mood of Padasevana. It's one of the items of devotional service, humbly serving the lotus feet. When you put your head on the ground, when you bow down, it's I am inferior. You are superior. And that's spiritual consciousness, because we are inferior. It's just embracing our constitution. It's like a fish in water. But when you pay your obeisances, your head goes down, your heart goes up, not just physically, but in your consciousness. That's what bhakti is. Bhakti means the heart goes down. The head goes down, the heart goes up. But when someone is superior, and when someone is superior and they come in, you stand up. It's a sign of respect, but it's also described that when a superior comes in, your life airs rise to meet that person. And if your body doesn't go up, you reduce your life. Anyway, the main point is the consciousness. So otherwise the tilak is just like war paint. It makes no sense. But in that sense, it's important. I belong to Krishna. I belong to the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. And when you're belonging to something is an indication of connection and service to something, then that's actually a very good thing. I remember once one of my disciples was a secretary of a big advertising company on Madison Avenue. And on Friday afternoon, they have a Friday, they have a dress down day. You wear whatever you want. And she invited me, and everyone in the advertising company was very excited to meet me. This is New York. And there was even a computer printout on the wall, the long corridor, and then a big hallway, and welcome Hare Krishna. And then someone, and by the time I visited all the offices at the end, everybody was surrounding me, and the production manager came out and they asked me why I dress the way I do. And I said, it's a uniform. Of course, that seems to be very mundane, but it put them off guard to actually hear something a little bit deeper. I said, what's the purpose of a uniform? Identification and mood. Because I used to play sports and I'd put on uniforms. Or a policeman, I said, it gives them a mood to do the service and you can identify. So I said, when you dress like a Vaishnava and you wear tilak and you wear, then people can identify with you and it gives you actually a mood, an identification. Anyway, I'm sorry you can't see me because there's something wrong with Zoom, but I'm talking about my tilak. And I really want to get into this pastime. It's so beautiful. But just a little preliminary, which I feel is always necessary. And when you see the pictures of Krishna, when you hear the pastimes of Krishna, and it puts a picture in your mind, you have to understand that seeing is not just a you have to not only see something, but you have to understand what it represents to truly understand something. And I gave the example of the mental disability called autism, where people can't read minds. I thought of this. I read about this. I was reading for some other type of book. It wasn't a directly spiritual book, but it's an interesting topic that I could apply. And when I heard about actually what autism is, I saw how applicable it is to understanding Krishna. Because when you hear Krishna's pastimes, and this is why there's generally this, you hear the 10th canto after you understand the first nine cantos, or you hear the 10th canto couched in tattva or philosophy. So that, because you have to understand not just the form, but what the form is an expression of. For example, when they discuss the conjugal relationship, the term used is kama rup. It's the form of kama or lust, but not the consciousness of lust. The form of lust is the form of intensity in relationship. In the material world, that intensity of relationship is at best tinged with selfishness and exploitation. But in the spiritual world, those same form, it's the intensity not of pleasing one's own senses, but giving pleasure to the senses of one's beloved. The consciousness is how I can serve you within this relationship. So you have to see the mind. And to understand the mind, you have to understand the tattva, the philosophy behind it. And then you can understand the mind. Now, I have a few god brothers that I meet in Vrindavan that are deep in the meditation of the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. But their adhikari, or their qualification, is a depth of surrender and service. Because unless you have the experience of service, the depth of surrender and service, then you will not be able to recognize that fully as service. Rather, you'll identify that form with your experience of it, rather than what the experience of that form is of Radha and Krishna, which is the intensity of love and service. Srimati Radharani is challenging her chief competitor, Chandravali. She's challenging her for the attention and service of Krishna. But what is her consciousness? Because I can please Krishna the most. And if Chandravali could please Krishna more, then I will serve her. So the qualification for hearing these pastimes and entering in is that mood of service. And therefore, Narottam Das Thakur in one song prays that by entering deep into the ocean of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement, one alights on the shore of the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. What does that mean? It means the mood of service. It's just like Narada Muni. He had that Sakshat Darshan. He saw Krishna directly. He saw Krishna directly. Then the Darshan was taken away, and then he tried again, but He was so frustrated, he was devastated. He achieved that perfection of Krishna, and not just the seeing of Krishna, but the feeling of Krishna, and feeling that energy between him and Krishna, which is his eternal relationship with Krishna, which is Prema Pumartha Mahan. It is Prema Pumartha Mahan. It is the Artha Mahan. It's the greatest wealth, the greatest gift is that Prema. And then he tried for it again and he couldn't get it. And then an Akashvani, an unembodied voice, spoke and said, "You're not complete in service. The foundation is service. The door is Sharanagati or surrender." Without an experience of that consciousness, you won't be able to see that within the pastimes of Krishna and his associates in Vrindavan. But when you have that experience, when you have that bhava, then seeing those things, seeing those pastimes, you will see unalloyed pure devotional service, and it will powerfully inspire the same in your heart. There's one famous verse in the Shvetavatara Upanishads, I'm not sure, but it says, "Yasya deve para bhaktir tatadeve tatagru." One who has implicit faith in the Supreme Lord and the spiritual master, the imports of the Vedas are revealed. Why? Because the import of the Vedas is to love Krishna. The import of the Vedas is to transcend false ego. That's the whole import of the Vedas, to conquer that sense of selfishness and superiority that covers the soul in this world. That's the whole import of the Vedas. But unless you have experience of it, by surrendering to Guru and Krishna, you won't be able to see that when you hear the Vedas. Vedaischa sarveham eva vedyo vedanta vid veda vid eva chaham. Of all the Vedas, I am to be known. You won't see that. And therefore, you can't just intellectually understand the Shastra. You have to approach it in the right attitude, in the right mood, and the right perspective from a preliminary experience of what it's showing. A simple example is a young little girl, and she sees a romance. She may see the same figures, the same embraces, the same actions, but she'll see the form. But because she has no experience of the consciousness, she can't actually see what's there. And that's actually what Prabhupada taught us and stressed, and Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur stressed, that you have to enter the spiritual world, you have to understand the spiritual world through service, which will give you the lens or vision to actually understand what is there. And I think that is the beauty of Prabhupada's teachings, is to actually stress that and help us understand that so we can actually enter into that. Okay, now let's paint the picture of what's going on. I'm going to go over the first verse again. I'm just going to read it now. Tatascipogondavayashritobraje Vibhuvatusto Pashupala Samato Kascharyanto sakibhishamam padai Vrindavanam punyam ativa chakratu. Sukadeva Goswami said, when Lord Rama and Lord Krishna attained the age of Poganda, 6 to 10, while living in Vrindavan, the cowherd men allowed them to take up the task of tending the cows, engaging thus in the company of their friends. The two boys rendered the land of Vrindavan most auspicious by imprinting it upon it the marks of their lotus feet. So this is one of the most dynamic parts of Krishna's pastimes, Astakalila Smaran. We should remember this, and it happens every day, perhaps in different dynamic ways. Krishna enters the forest of Vrindavan, and we're seeing it from the vantage point of Sukadeva Goswami. And it's such a beautiful picture. I describe that. But first, just the background, the consciousness is this Poganda. You have to understand the joy of Krishna. This is called Gopastami, the 8th day of the month of Kartik. Krishna finally gets to take out the cows. This is his dream. Since he was young, his dream to take out the cows, and was pestering his mother, who was, it's all Bhav. His mother loved him. And what's that motherly mood? That motherly mood of anugraha, mercy, I am your maintainer. That love, without you, me, you will die. You are not capable. And Krishna pestering his mother, tell Nanda Maharaj that now I am intelligent, now I am strong. Tell my father. Of course, it's a little bit tricky because the mother doesn't agree. And Krishna is getting asking the mother to tell the father as if she agrees. And he wants to go, and it's actually proper. Because previously he was a calf herd boy and now he's a cow herd boy. And the calves, they can't go wander too far and they don't need to go to the forest to eat because they're drinking the milk of their mothers. So, and mother, I am not disturbed by heat. It's true. He's not disturbed by heat because he's the Supreme Lord. He's not affected by dualities. But the mother doesn't see it that way. And just pack me a lot of food and I'll eat with my friends. I won't go hungry and I won't go swimming. And mother's just so reluctant. But now there's a problem because the mothers of the calves that Krishna has taken care of are now pregnant, and they can't feed the milk to these calves. And this is not the way they take care of cows now. They go to the forest of Vrindavan, and the forest of Vrindavan loves Krishna and loves the cows. And it is never a shortage of fresh, clean water. There's never a shortage of food and grass that grows. So the calves have to go, but the mother won't let Krishna go. And they just can't leave Krishna, who massages them and feeds them and hugs them and kisses them. So the mothers say, well, let's mix these calves with the older cows. Let's mix these calves with the older cows, and then the And when the cows go, these calves will go. But now the calves all, cows won't also go. So finally, Mother Yasoda She has no choice but to agree to let Krishna enter into the forest of Vrindavan. And he's so joyful there, Krishna. And he's with, it says he has to go along with Balaram. And he's so joyful in that forest. It says if there's 100 minutes, then maybe 2 minutes Krishna's taking care of the cows. Vrindavan takes care of the cows. Krishna's going there and he's enjoying the sukhiras, the friendship, that incredible sense of if you ever had a good friend and you multiply it unlimited degrees, what that love is and that enjoyment and that exchange and that happiness and that laughter. So Krishna's going to the forest to enjoy with his friends. And Poganda, it means now he has a body that is suitable. There's descriptions in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu of the different bodily developments of Krishna at different ages that facilitate particular devotees that want to love him in a particular way. Just like when the parents, they love Krishna, so he manifests as Kumar. But now it's Poganda. And then the mother finally surrenders and just begs Krishna, look, now, when you were going in Vraja, Vraja means the whole Vrindavan, but it also means the part by the town. And Vrindavan means the whole Vrindavan, but it also means the van, the forest of Vrindavan. When you're in this Vraja, it's nearby and you take the calves. I don't mind if you don't wear shoes. But when you go into the forest of Vrindavan, when you go into the forest of Vrindavan, then there are thorns, there are rocks, there are branches on the thing. You have cowherd men wear shoes. You have to wear shoes. And Krishna says, I will not wear shoes because the cows, I'm the servant of the cows, and the servant never enjoys more than the master. I can't wear. Well, mother said, I'll make shoes for all your 900,000 cows of Nanda Maharaj. But Krishna says, I will not wear shoes. Because the earth sustains and maintains everything. And therefore, I want to respect the earth and my relationship with the earth. It sustains and maintains all my devotees, all the living entities. And not only, and I want to have that connection. And I mark it with the marks of my feet. We described the beginning. The earth has that feeling with that, those marks, that wonderful feeling. When you have shelter, the most beautiful Bhav, if you actually have found shelter in your life, the most beautiful mood or Bhav is I belong to that person. So the earth's mood is I belong to Krishna. And therefore, the earth is in a mood of service to Krishna and cherishes and honors that sense. To the extent that the earth will always maintain intact the footprints of Krishna with the special marks on the earth. And ativa punyam, Punya means pious. Ati means extremely. Ativa, extremely. Extreme piety. And what's the extreme piety? It's the connection with God. It makes everything auspicious. Because the value of everything, the value of a part, the auspiciousness of a part is in relationship to the whole. I was listening to a tape of Prabhupada the other day, and he talked about a little screw, how its auspiciousness or value is in relationship to the machine that it is a part of or was made for. So auspiciousness is connection with Krishna. Because connection with Krishna gives us sustenance and purpose. As much as the hand connected to the body is sustained and has meaning or purpose. So we get that purpose or meaning in connection with Krishna. And what is our purpose or connection in relationship to Krishna? Our purpose or relationship in relationship to Krishna is to serve him. The part's meant to serve the whole. But what is service? What is our service in relationship to Krishna? It's to love Krishna. Rasa Vai Saha. The ultimate reality is an exchange of love. And we're meant to be receptacles for that love. Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes that Krishna has two pleasures. God has two pleasures, Surupanand and Bhaktianand. Surupanand is the pleasure one has within their own being. I gave the simple example when I have a place upstate, there's a hammock. I go out there sometimes and just swing in the hammock. I don't need anybody else. And then there's Bhaktianand, the pleasure of love, which requires another to be the receptacle for that love. So that's the whole conception of God mentioned in the Upanishads. Eko Bahu Sham. The one becomes many for the purpose of love. For the Bhaktianand, God becomes many. Because God, love means an energy that comes to you from something outside of yourself. So within God, there must be something outside of God. So that energy of love, the whole purpose of bhakti, of cleaning our hearts, and cleaning our hearts means the desire. The whole purpose is seva, to develop. We have an eternal relationship with Krishna. What does that mean? That we are by nature servants of God. It's a consciousness. And we have to bring that consciousness out. And when we have that consciousness, we can become a receptacle for God's loving energy. That's what happens at the platform of Baba. Rupa Goswami describes that there are different steps in spiritual advancement. And the penultimate step before perfection, which is Baba or Prema, is called Ashakti. Ashakti means you want to serve so much. You want to serve so much that the voice in your heart and consciousness is intensely the desire to serve Krishna. And then when that happens, Krishna may give you his loving potency to energize your heart and your consciousness in love. And that's called bhava. And that's why in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it describes that the symptom of bhava is sudurlabha. It's very, very difficult to attain. And the reason is because love controls Krishna, because that's what love is. If you have love, if someone loves you, and it affects, if someone loves you, then naturally, we are, Prabhupada said, Krishna is responsive. And he wants to serve that person. And the consciousness, I want to serve someone, means that their desire becomes prominent in your life. You become controlled by their desire. Krishna's Bhakta Vatsala becomes controlled by his devotee. So he doesn't give that energy unless there's absolute conviction in the mood of service. And that connection with God, when you actually have that connection of God, that's called prema. That's Priyojana Tattva. Priyojana means, what is the absolute goal? What is this all about? When you re when you have when you understand the truth, and you have the means to realize the truth, then what's the result of that? The result of that, of realizing the truth, is feeling the truth. And feeling the truth is feeling our relationship with the truth. And what is our relationship with the truth? It's called prema, or love. That's the most auspicious thing, to have this connection with God. And that's what the whole world is about. The whole world is about is God is trying to give us a mood of service by frustrating the consciousness, which is antithetical to that mood. That's why you have the anomaly that people get all the accoutrements for control. They get the beauty to control. They get the wealth to control. They get the power to control. But why does happiness elude them? Because that consciousness, if that consciousness is agitated, that my faith and desire is to control and enjoy, it disconnects one from God and that ultimate feeling of happiness. And therefore, the world is meant to frustrate that false ego, that conception, and give us this connection. So Krishna now is given this task. And now this is the image we have to paint for today, and I'll read the next verse. Tadmadavo venu madirayanvrito Gopa Grinad B. Swayasho Balanvita Pashun Paraskritya Pashavyama Vishad Vihartu Kaman Kusamakarambanam. Thus, desiring to enjoy pastimes, Lord Madhava, sounding his flute, surrounded by cowherd boys who were chanting his glories, and accompanied by Lord Baladev, kept the cows before him and entered the Vrindavan forest, which was full of flowers and rich with nourishment for the cows. So, what is so Udiriyan, Krishna has two ways of blowing the flute. He can blow the flute very softly for himself, or he can blow the flute very loudly for others. So here is the image. And actually, maybe because there's no visual seeing me, you can see Krishna in your mind. Krishna. We quoted that verse before, the harpy dumb, natavara vapu, karnio karni karyam. So have your picture of Krishna. He's going into the forest of Vrindavan, but see his mind on this day. He's so excited. He's so joyful because he's entering the forest of Vrindavan to play for his friends, desiring to enjoy his pastimes. That's what Vrindavan means. Vrindavan is the environment that is manifest when God wants to enjoy intimate love. And it facilitates that. That's why it says Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. Because when Krishna wants to enjoy intimate love, it's not a physical distance, it's an eternal manifestation to facilitate that. And it not only facilitates Krishna's love, but it does so out of love for Krishna. So the environment has a sense of deep love. Even we can meditate, and later there'll be a meditation like this, on Krishna's feet. Imagine you are the ground of Vrindavan. Imagine what it is like for Krishna's feet to connect with you. Because Krishna, it's all rasa, so Krishna also has love. He's not just stepping his feet haphazardly. He's caressing the ground of Vrindavan. I have a disciple, very incredibly creative, Ladini Radha. And from my room in Vrindavan, she painted me these pastel paintings. Pastels, I guess it's not paint, but it makes color. And it's six or seven little paintings. And the term is the souls of God. And of course, it's a pun. S-O-L-E-S is also S-O-U-L-S. The souls of Vrindavan. And it's the vision, no, the souls of God or something, souls of God. It's the vision of the feet of the various avatars from the animals on the ground of Vrindavan. So it's a painting that you see their feet. So you see Krishna's feet, and you see Lord Chaitanya's feet. You see Radharani's feet. You see Ramachandra's feet. So there's that connection. And Krishna is not Devara, so when he leaves, he's dancing. And he blows his flute because he's going to enter the forest of Vrindavan. And simultaneously, he's blowing his flute to express his own joy, which is the pleasure of his devotees, because that's what love means. Love means that your happiness is the happiness of another. So when you hear Krishna's joy, when he blows his flute, because he is happy, because he's manifesting the environment to have him experience intimate love. And when you hear that sound, you experience the same happiness. At the same time, he's not only expressing his own happiness, but through his flute, Krishna is intentionally expressing his love to the various devotees of Vrindavan. And they're actually feeling that intensely. And then there's the beautiful cows of Vrindavan. And Krishna knows all their names and the different types of herds of cows. And they're trampling out of Vraja into the forest of Vrindavan. It says Krishna kept the cows before him everything is rasa. That's his experience of love. Out of the earth, the cows are trampling the earth, and Krishna is putting his soft feet to pacify and caress the earth as the hundreds of thousands of cows are entering the forest of Vrindavan. And Balanvita, he's accompanied by Lord Balaram. And Lord Balaram, it's also rasa. He is the older brother, so has a sense of friendship, but also a sense of protection. And he tries not to let Krishna go out of his sight. And now Krishna enters into this forest of Vrindavan, which was full of flowers. Someone was mentioning to me that they liked the point I gave, that the main expression, it has alliteration too, the main expression of love is fruit and flowers, is food and flowers. And what love is to please. The emotion of pleasure is communicated through the senses. And in a loving relationship, the emotion takes precedent over the sensual experience. If someone gives you flowers and they love you very much and you love them very much, and they give you flowers and the flowers are so beautiful, and you see their fragrance and you see their color, you enjoy the fragrance, you enjoy the color, but more so, you enjoy the emotional experience of that other person's heart expressed in love. So Krishna's coming to the forest and it's so rich with flowers, full of flowers and rich of nourishment for his animals, for the cows. And in mood, it's described, we know that in Govardhan, that there's not just rivers, there's not just grass. The grass is the hairs of Govardhan standing on end. The rivers are the tears of Govardhan crying in ecstasy. So Krishna enters into the forest, surrounded by the cowherd boys who were chanting his glories. So there's always kirtan. Because the main expression of love is the expression of love. And what is kirtan? It's when the bhava in the heart is expressed by the discipline of music. So the cowherd boys are just singing all these beautiful songs of Krishna's pastimes. And they're singing it so beautifully. They're singing it deep from the heart. They're singing it appropriately according to the ragas that incite the emotion to the highest degree, appropriate for the particular time and appropriate for the particular pastime. And it's devoid of passion. It's coming from the heart. And they're singing it very slowly and slowly, accompanied with Krishna's flute, and slowly, and then gradually, gradually, as the bhav increases, as the mood of devotion increases, the tempo is increasing, the absorption is increasing. And then the cowherd boys, they hear Krishna's flute, which is an expression of love also for them. And each cowherd boy hears his name through Krishna's flute and Krishna's expression of recognition and love for them. And they're entering into the forest of Vrindavan. always chanting Krishna's glories. And Krishna's name, because Krishna has many names, their primary names and secondary names, and secondary names express his position, and primary names express his personality. And his personality is expressed in the pastimes that he performs. And therefore, he's called here Madhava. Madhu means honey, it's very sweet. Madhava means very sweet. And therefore, the term one who possesses madhu or sweetness, it indicates Krishna is born in the Madhu dynasty because he's born in that dynasty. It's something glorious. And so Krishna is called Madhava also because the spring is such an expression of God's glory and love. And in that forest of Vrindavan, you'll see as Krishna comes into the forest, all the trees are just spontaneously, they're blossoming flowers, and Krishna expands unlimitedly to accept every single offering, which is an expression of love. And Krishna, the commentators say, somehow every grain of dust in Vrindavan is touched by his lotus feet. So he's entering deeply into that forest, dancing the cows before him. And then, of course, there's a few cowherd boys who are very expert at drums. Actually, of all the drums, the Madanga drum, which is actually an incarnation of Krishna's flute in Gaur Lila, the Madanga drum is especially powerful for dancing. So anyway, the drums are playing that taal. This is all rasa. This is all love being heightened, and the taal, the beautiful beat. The flute is creating the melody, and the drums of the cowherd boys are playing the are creating the taal, and that rag and the taal, it somehow has a connection with deep parts of the psyche to increase emotion. And what is the emotion that's being enhanced? It's this incredible exchange of rasa and love between Krishna and the cows, Krishna and the earth, Krishna and the cowherd boys, and the love between themselves. And that love just becomes like a complete ocean. It's just not cows and Krishna and the flute, but it's a complete ocean of love. And the cowherd boys, in spontaneous ecstasy, they see nice trees like banana trees and leaves. And some of the cowherd boys, they grab these leaves and they roll them up, and very expertly, they play them that accompany the kirtan. Accompany the kirtan like their trumpets. And so graceful the dancing, and Krishna's in such ecstasy behind the cows in his threefold bending form, and announcing to the forest of Vrindavan, here we come to exchange and enjoy pastimes. And when it says enjoy here, vihartu kaman, avishat, vihartu kaman, he entered to enjoy pastimes. It's not selfishness, because it's a perfect exchange of love. It's the ultimate reality. And when Krishna enters the forest, it's so merciful that it's an invitation for us to do the same. So we'll go 10 more minutes. I'll read one more verse. Tadmanjugoshali Migat Vajakulam Mahamana Prakya Payasarasvata Vatenudrishtam Shatapatagandina Narikshantum Bhagavan Mano Dede. The Supreme Personality of Godhead looked over the forest. Now we'll be blessed with the vision of what Krishna saw, why he's entering this forest, or why this forest manifests when he wants to enjoy intimate love. In the Bhagavad Gita, there's one verse, but I remember the commentary Prabhupada said, Krishna's determination is an absolute fact. So there's a science of sacred space. And actually, these sciences of sacred space and sacred relationships, they help us to understand the world and how the world we live in, how it should function properly. Because the science of sacred space means that particular environments are connected with facilitating particular emotions. For example, if you want an environment of respect, then you have a big chair in an office and some seats before you, and maybe behind you a picture of the president or something, the country or something. There's an environment. If you want to enjoy family love, then there's another environment that facilitates that love. You know what a living room looks like? There's some big couches or sofas, I don't know what you call them. And then there's a coffee table and there's little nuts and little sweets. And then there's all kinds of family pictures around. You make the environment. And that's why someone likes his living room more than his office. Why? Because the living room facilitates a greater degree of intimate love. And then romantic. There are candles, there's a particular type of music. And when you want to enjoy that type of love, there's another environment. So one environment is more cherished or more exalted by the degree it facilitates a greater intimacy of love. And that's how we understand Vrindavan. Because Vrindavan is a manifestation of Krishna's desire to enjoy the most intimate love. He cherishes that forest and loves that forest the most. And because the forest is not just constructed, it has its own consciousness. That's why the grasses and the trees and the rivers are always flowing to serve Krishna. And the flowers are always blooming. So this is Krishna's vision. He's seeing this land of love, which is trying to please Krishna and communicate the emotion of love to Krishna through the stimulation of Krishna's transcendental senses with the most incredible fragrances, the most beautiful colors and flowers, the softest touches, and the most wonderful sounds. And he looks over the forest with resounded with the charming sounds of bees. The sound that Krishna likes the most is the buzzing of the bees. So imagine all this going on, and now they're entering this forest, and there's the buzzing of the bees, and the animals and the birds, and then lakes resembling the minds of great souls. What's the mind of a great soul? The mind of a great soul, it's very calm, and the mind of a great soul is very clear. And therefore, it is a perfect receptacle for Krishna to enter. So Vrindavan, it's so pleasing. And Krishna's coming into that forest, and the beautiful sounds of the animals and the bees are buzzing, and the birds are singing. And it's not like the birds just have one sound. We hear birds singing, but it's not that the birds just have one sound. The birds actually can sing. And Krishna actually plays his flute to a symphony of birds that accompany his flute as he enters into that forest. And then he looks and he just sees these crystal clear lakes. And then as they're entering, then these breezes come that cover the lakes, which have fragrances of 100 petaled lotus flowers, the greatest fragrance is called Sugandhika. It's a particular type of lotus that grows in a place called Manasi, Manasarovara. There's a particular type of lotus that has the most supreme fragrant, but the fragrance is, it's just like Radha. What does Radha mean? The one who has the capacity to please Krishna. So why is Radha called Mahabhav Swarup? Why is she the form of Mahabhav? Because love manifests in a desire to please, and therefore Radharani manifests with the greatest qualities for the pleasure of Krishna. It's actually love. Radharani's beauty is intense expression. This is for you. Radharani's complexion is the most beautiful golden lust. This is for you. Radharani's jewels are composed of the same, just like a girl, and she wants to please a boy, and she wants to look beautiful. And she puts on a jewel, and it's decorated so nicely. And why is that? In pure love, so that this for the pleasure of her beloved. But Radharani's jewels are the same composition of herself. So Sugandhika, Radharani's fragrance, is so supreme that Radharani could be in a forest of Stala Kamala, land lotuses or magnolias, and Krishna could walk 100 yards away and, oh, Radharani's in that forest. So they're entering the forest, and the incredible, the wind, what makes one cool is water and wind. There's water and wind. The cowherd boys, as they're entering the forest, they're going in the morning. Now the sun's coming up, and this incredibly cool breeze comes by them with just a little droplets of water, just extremely pleasing, and also carrying the most exquisite fragrance. And Krishna's joy blowing his flute so loudly and dancing, and the cowherd boys doing kirtan, and the exchanges between Krishna and the cowherd boys. Because the cowherd boys are not just, they're loving Krishna, but they're directly feeling Krishna's love for them. So, purport, Lord Krishna saw Vrindavan Forest was giving pleasure to all the five senses. The bees, birds, and animals made charming sounds that brought sweet pleasure to the ears. The wind was faithfully rendering service to the Lord by blowing throughout the forest, carrying the cool moisture of a transparent lake, and thus giving pleasure to the sense of touch. By the sweetness of the wind, even the sense of taste was being stimulated, and the fragrance of the lotus flowers were bringing pleasure to the nostrils. The entire forest was endowed with heavenly beauty, which was giving spiritual bliss to the eyes. What is spiritual bliss to the eyes? When you see things that are expressions of love for yourself, for others, actually. We go and we see the deities, and when there's these beautiful garlands, I mentioned that before in another class, when we see the beautiful garlands, what are we actually seeing? We're seeing devotees' love for Krishna. We can actually see bhakti. When we hear sounds, we can actually hear bhakti. When we taste prasadam, we can actually taste bhakti. When we smell the fragrance, we can actually smell bhakti. I always remember this one story, and it stuck in me. Those of you that have been on this sangha, you may have heard it before. But you can't imagine in the early days, there weren't that many devotees in Vrindavan. Prabhupada came out of his room, there was about 3-4 people. And they offered him a garland. The garland was these white flowers that grow abundant in Vrindavan, but they have no fragrance. And the garland was a garland. The simplest way to make a garland is you just string it through the stem. So there's one flower after another. So it was the simplest, and it was strung like that. And then it was a little bit old, so it was wilted around the corners. And it was purchased outside. And they put it on Prabhupada. And Prabhupada, as the acharya, looked in disgust and basically told the devotees, what type of love is this? Where there was no intention to make it beautiful, there was no intention to make it fragrant. No intention to make it colorful. He didn't say that, but he curled his lips as teaching them. What kind of love is this for Krishna's representative? It's not ego by Prabhupada, but the acharya is teaching. And then Prabhupada brought the ladies into his room and taught them how to make garlands. And now look at the love in the Krishna Balaram Mandir. You can actually see that love. So Krishna, with all his five senses, was experiencing the love of Vrindavan, which was moving to facilitate his pastimes and serve him. The word here is Vatena Jushtam. The wind was serving. And Krishna was blowing his flute and dancing, and the cowherd boys enter. So we will continue this next week. Anybody like to share One thing that, wow, this struck me.
Hi, Bo Maharaj.
Hi, Bo. Who is this?
It's
Yeah. Okay.
Smoothie Jaya. No screen today. Thank you for a beautiful class. It just makes me want to run to Vrindavan right now. But I really appreciate what you said about God is trying to give us the mood of service by frustrating our ego. I love that point. He's trying to get through to us by taking us away, and I just love that point so much.
That's what's happening right now. We're not controlling. And the reason God is doing that, one of the reasons is to remove the covering of the soul, which is that sense of superiority. You can see that when a person has that consciousness, and we all struggle with it, when a person has that consciousness, they know it's an obstacle to their devotion. So it's merciful when sometimes, especially for devotee, it's very merciful when it's frustrated. And when you can have that sense, oh, I'm not the controller. I'm not the controller. And when that happens, it's an inspiration to change our faith from enjoying controlling to serving. Because not only are we not the enjoyer and controller, but the things that we do control are actually not under our control, and they can actually be taken in a second. And if you develop the mood of service, you can be equal in happiness and distress. Because happiness and distress is only in relationship to control. It's not in relationship to service. Service is not dependent on control. In fact, sometimes when there's the mood of service actually becomes impeded by it. So we really have to practice being equal in happiness and distress. And the only way we can do that is developing a service attitude. And seeing every situation that comes to us as a different opportunity. Okay, Jamuna Jaya, thank you for breaking the ice.
You're welcome, Rabbi.
Okay, and anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Arbo, Sudama.
Yes, I really liked it when you said that auspiciousness is connection with Krishna. And, just seeing that everybody is looking for auspiciousness. And it is found in connection with Krishna. I really liked it.
Wow. Yeah. We all have to be connected to Krishna. Thank you. Anybody else? Okay, a few people want to say hello.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Tota Gopinath here, and
Priya.
Oh, okay. Priya, I'm hunkered down in New Jersey. One of these Sundays, Fridays, see if you can get free to cook something, okay?
Okay.
All right. Okay, anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Surya Radhika. I'm my mom.
Oh,
Hare
okay. Great. So
Krishna.
nice. Thank
I
you.
love the point that you said about we can see bhakti, we can smell bhakti, we can taste bhakti. It really struck me. Thank you,
Good,
Maharaj.
good. Wonderful. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, this is Lal Davinda.
And Brajendra Radha, thank you for a beautiful class.
Yeah, thank you for
Wow.
bringing us to Vrindavan.
that can be said and has many meanings. Okay. Anybody else?
Radha, this is Siddheshwari. I miss your parikramas in Vrindavan. The class full of Vrindavan Ras.
Wow. We will again meet in Vrindavan for sure.
I pray.
We will. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Good. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, it's Joe Kaylee. I have Karuna and Kaylee with me.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hi, Karuna. Is Kaylee there?
Yeah, Hare Krishna.
Okay.
We're all here. Thank you for a great class. We love it.
Okay, Kaylee.
Yeah?
I told you that. Did I send you the information of that online thing where some young ladies, they discuss philosophy that you would like? Did I send you that yet?
No, I don't think so. I'll have to check though.
Okay, I'll send it again.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, anybody else? Okay, we'll end for today. We'll end for today, and I will see you on Wednesday, those of you that are here. Okay, Haribo, bunch of couple of teasers, check with us in the video.